Get your Bibles out to the book of Colossians. I want you to stand, please, as you turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let's stand, please. And we're going to read a couple of verses, and hopefully we'll take off. Colossians chapter 2. And verse number 6, that's where we'll begin. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. Now Paul tells the Christians in Colossae, he says this. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." He's going to tell you how he wants you to walk in him. He says, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now I want you to notice what Paul the Apostle says. He says, after you get saved, after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to walk in him. Some of what we were going over in Sunday school this morning. You receive Christ, now you practice. You positionally, you get saved, now your practice needs to match what Christ did on the inside of you. And he says you need to be rooted and built up in him. And you need to have your faith established in him and your practice. Just like you've been taught. And he says this. You need to abound therein with thanksgiving. Part of the Christian walk, folks, listen. Part of growing in the Lord and being rooted and grounded and established is walking or living with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is part of it. And I'll tell you this, and I've told you this before, and I got to say it again. The longer I'm in the ministry and the longer I'm saved and the closer I'm trying to get to the Lord, Brother Sonny, the more that I realize how big a deal it is to God about this thankfulness stuff. And I realize how big a deal it is to God when we're not thankful. And I tell you what, I think God gets a big blessing in heaven when he sees his children being thankful and acknowledging him for what he's done for us and what he's given us. That song they just sang and what we're fixing to do here in a moment, that brings our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, great honor and glory. We ought to thank him and ought to be thankful. Now, what's going to happen is in a few days, this Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's a holiday that we celebrate every year in this country. It's always the fourth Thursday in the month of November. And we set it aside for a special time of thanksgiving. And we should. And what we're going to do during this time is rather than me being thankful, we're going to be gobbling up a bunch of stuff. Yeah, we're going to try to do it here today, ain't we? But what I want to do is I just want to take a few minutes here. And I've got all this stuff alliterated so it can all, maybe you'll remember some of it. We're not going to learn any scripture here in the next few moments. We're not going to study some kind of doctrinal thing. You should have been here for Sunday school if you wanted that. You're not going to get some kind of in-depth Bible study. I'm just going to go over to you personally with some things I'm thankful for. And I hope you're thankful for the same things. What we're going to do here in the next few minutes is we're going to lift up the Savior. Amen? Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? We're going to be thankful. I'm just going to mention some things that I'm thankful for, and I hope you're thankful for some of these same things. And then we'll go eat. Amen. All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Tim Hoffenbrottle, glad y'all are here. Would you pray for this message? And then everybody can be seated. We'll get started.
Father, thanks for today. First of all, just thanks for allowing us to be in church, Father. Thank you for your word, and thank you for salvation, and thank you for all the things that you do for us, Father, that we take for granted so often.
Yes.
Father, we do you a disservice by not being thankful. And like he's saying, you read through that Bible and see the Israelites and see you get so mad about their complaining and grumbling.
We did so much
for them. And Father, we can get so close-minded on thinking that we got it rough, that we got a hard lot in life, but Lord, you've given us so much.
Yes, you have, Lord.
And Father, I just pray you'd help us be thankful for you for what you've done for us today, throughout this week, and not only that, but throughout the year, Father, that we would instill an attitude of thankfulness in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And that it'd be constant, and that you could be pleased with it. Father, pray you'd help Brother Noel now, fill him with your spirit, give him the words, and help us to lift you up. In
Jesus'
name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Here we go. Number one, I'm thankful for the Savior. Let's just start out with the best. Now, usually you want to work from the weakest to the best, but we're just going to start out with the best. I'm thankful for the Savior. I'm thankful for the Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and die in my place. I should have been on the cross. I'm the one that's supposed to pay for my sins, but it wouldn't have done no good. I can't pay for my sins. I got to have somebody that's sinless to pay for a sinner's sins. How about that? And Jesus Christ took my place. It's called the substitutionary atoning death of Christ. He takes my place. He takes your place on the cross. And listen, folks, listen. Forget all this where Christ died for everybody and Christ died for humanity. And he did. We're not Calvinists around here. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He did die for all. But that's not what I want to focus on today, brother. I want to focus on that he died for Dennis Knowles. He died for Sonny Pierce. He died for Mark Brantley. He died for you. And that's what I want you to focus on. We've said this before, but I believe it. If I was the only one ever born, Christ would have went to the cross for me. I believe that. I'm glad he died for everybody, but I want to make it more personal. I want to thank God for my Savior because he died for me. I can't speak for you, but I was in trouble and I was lost and undone on my way to hell with no help and no hope. And the Savior reached down his hand for me. Hallelujah. I'm glad he saved my soul from hell. I got something worth shouting about this morning. You do too. We're not going to be dignified at all. I'm not going to try to be homiletically correct at all. I'm not going to try to preach like I have any education at all. I'm just going to be a fool for Jesus. You're a fool for everything else. You ought to be a fool for Jesus. But that old country preacher got up there and went to holler. That's exactly what I'm going to do today. I'm glad I'm not going to hell when I die. I'm glad I've got a home in heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for my Savior. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him. Oh, to be like thee. How many remember that old hymn? Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. You know, when I cry sometimes when I sing that because I know I'm so much not like him. But let me tell you something, brother. One day I'm going to be just like him. One day I'm going to have a body fashioned just like his. I'm going to have a mind like his. I'm never going to sin again. I'm never going to think about sin. I'm never going to say anything wrong again. I'm going to be like my Savior. I want to be like him. And Darby wants me to be like him. And you want me to be like him. But hallelujah, one day I'm going to be like him. And if you're saved here this morning, you are too. I thank God. I'm thankful for the Savior. And I'm thankful, number two, for that salvation. It's all S's. You'll remember it or forget it or whatever, but it's all S's. I'm thankful for salvation, man. I'm thankful that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. There's many folks out here that don't. I could have been born in some third world Catholic country and been taught a false gospel over there in Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia and just cutting people's heads off that don't agree with me, thinking it's all right to rape and pillage women and die in my sins and go to hell. Thank God he let me be born in the South. Amen. Sorry, baby. Thank God he let me be born in America and he saved my soul from hell. Now, I don't know what else is going to happen today. I don't know how my life's going to turn out, but bless God, I know how my eternal future's going to be. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever with the Savior. And you're going to have to live with me. So if you don't like me, you better work on that. But you won't have to. See, that's a good thing. I'm going to heaven with people I don't like, but I won't have to work on that because he'll be like Christ and I'll be like Christ. We'll all be like Christ. Rodney King said, you know, why can't we just all get along? Because Rodney King's stupid. But I'm going to a place where we all can get along, brother. Yes, because we're all going to be like him. I want to throw this water bottle at you, sonny. Come on. Amen. I'm thankful for my Savior. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for the Scriptures. I hold in my hand the perfect Word of God. It's the perfect Word of God. I know Dr. Smellfungus up there at the university doesn't know it, but I thank God that old poor South Alabama poor boy knows it. I know some of the most intelligent people in the world. It's a fairy tale. It's fake. It's you know, we just have accurate translations. We don't have the perfect Word of God. You're an idiot. There's people with an IQ of a high of 150 and 160, 170, and mine is 70 on a good day. But I know I got the perfect book. I got the perfect book, brother. I've got the King James Bible. You say, what are you saying? All these other churches out here do not have the perfect book. Now, if you think I'm bragging on me or saying there's something great about us, no, there's not. No, there's not. God was just gracious and merciful to give us this book and to show us the truth about it. Don't you get puffed up. Don't you get prideful. But don't you cower down either, brother. We got the perfect book. We know how to rightly divide. At least we think we do anyway, don't we? I mean, we know how to rightly divide. We got the scriptures, and God's helped us with our doctrine. And now if we can just start living right, that'd be a lot better off. Amen. That's the problem with some of you. You know how to live right. You just don't do it. Anyway, this is a Thanksgiving service, so I ain't going there. I've got the scriptures, brother, sister. I've got them. You got them too. I've got the perfect word of God. I don't have a problem with this book. This book has a problem with me. When I look at this book and I say, I just don't know. And I just know. You know why you don't know? Because you're the one that's wrong. This book right here is yea and yea, and you're nay and nay. This book is always right, and you're always wrong. And when I look in this book and it tells me I'm doing something wrong, the book is right and I'm wrong every time. Every time. That's why people don't read the Bible. They don't want somebody to tell them they're wrong. Well, Christ's going to tell you you're wrong. And you know how he tells you you're wrong? He tells you through his book. So I'm thankful for the Savior. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for the scriptures. I'm thankful for my spouse, Miss Darby. What a blessing. I sure love my wife. You folks wouldn't even know that, would you? I never say nothing about it. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Christianity is rough, trying to live for Christ, trying to do what's right. But you know what makes it even tougher? If you don't have somebody pulling along there with you. Now, I can think of two or three episodes that happened in my life. And I'm sorry to say this, but this is just how pitiful my character is. I can think about two or three bad things that come along in my life. And had I not had a spiritual, praying woman, I do not think I'd be preaching today. I do not think I'd be in the ministry today. I'd been shipwrecked. I'd been a castaway. I'd been out. Oh, not you, but yeah, me. But I promise you. And if you don't have a good spouse, I really do. I'm not being funny. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you that you don't have somebody like I have. I feel sorry for Darby that she has somebody like she has. But I feel sorry for her if you don't have somebody like I've got. I love my wife. The biggest problem we have is she wants me to stay away from her sometimes. I told her, I said, I didn't marry you to stay away from you. I married you because I want to be right up under you all the time. Miss Darby doesn't like that. Miss Darby is not a touchy-feely woman. But I still love her. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my mother, my father, my sisters, and my kin folks. I thank God for my son. I thank God for my son. He by no means is what I want him to be. He by no means is what I'm hoping he's going to be. But I thank God for him. I love him. And I'll always love him. There's not one thing my son can ever do that make me stop loving him. Do you understand that? Amen. And if I could go back and do some things different, it's too late now. When he was a little boy, and some of you preachers in here, me and you talked about this the other night, Brother Tim. I'm going to tell you, Sonny, some of you other young preachers in here, if I could go back and do one thing, I would not care what one stinking fat-bellied preacher or the brethren or self-righteous idiot ever thought about my child. And I wouldn't have been near as hard on them trying to preserve my image and my ministry. You can tell them to ram it and cram it. God gave you that youngin', and you ought to love that youngin', and you answer it. You stand and fall to your own master, not a bunch of pot-belly preachers out here. Amen. Amen. If some preacher don't like that, I wish I could see your face so I could preach some more to you. You're ruining your youngin' like that. If I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't care what nobody said about my youngin'. Well, he just, I know why my youngin' acts like that, because he's got some of me in him. Also, I know why he acts like that, because he plays with your youngins. What you'll wind up doing is what I did. You're much harder on your son than you are everybody else because he's a preacher's kid. And I didn't understand what it's like to be a preacher's kid. I didn't grow up nothing like he grew up. But if I could go back and redo it, I wouldn't care what these Bible believers said one way or the other. They don't answer for that youngin'. They don't love that youngin'. They don't have anything invested in that youngin'. Listen, when you're at home, you try to raise them right, discipline them, chastise them, teach them right. But if they get out in the public and embarrass you, don't take it too personal. Again, they're just acting like you. I want you to make your youngins behave. I want you to teach them right. I want you to make them do right. But don't you ever worry about me. What's Brother Dennis going to say now? He's going to say what? Why don't you worry about what the Savior says? And listen, long after Brother Dennis is dead and gone or whatever, you still have that relationship with your youngin, no matter how old or how young they are. I would not raise my youngin with anybody else in mind but me, my child, and my God. And if anybody else didn't like it, you can tell them to take a long walk off of a short plank. And if some of you don't like what I'm saying, I'm not going to tell you that. But I mean it. I wish I hadn't been that way. And I thank God for my son. I thank God for my surplus. How about another S? You say, what a surplus? All that junk I got. I thank God that, listen, at my house, I have a she shed and a he shed. And listen, it's no coincidence that the she shed is twice as big as the he shed. You've never seen the junk we haul in and out there. Our neighbor looks over there sometimes. I wonder if he thinks we got some kind of whatever over there, man. Maybe somebody's living over in that place. I got all this stuff. I got a nice house. I got plenty of money, plenty of food. I thank God for all that. Do you realize how blessed we are here in America? Amen. Do you realize what we're going to do here in a moment? We're going to eat. We're going to go in there and eat a caliber of type of food that the majority of this world is not going to get a chance to eat all year long. Now, you know what's going to be the problem for some of us here this morning? Let me tell you what's going to be the problem for some of us here this morning. We're going to have to drink Maalox and take antacids because we're going to stuff our belly. And several million, maybe close to the billion mark, are going to have a hurting belly because they ain't got nothing in it. Ours is going to hurt because we got too much. Theirs is going to hurt because they don't have anything. God's been good to us. He's just given me a bunch of stuff I don't deserve. And I thank God for it. I thank God not only for my salvation, my Savior, the Scriptures, my spouse, my son, my surplus. I thank God for my sorrows. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, not just for the good, but for the bad. Do you realize that the things that have changed me and helped me and molded me into halfway being a decent Christian are my sorrows way more than my fun times and great times? In times of blessing, in times of abounding, it's sorrows. How many of you can sit here today and say, you know what? It's when the Lord put me through great times of sorrow that I learned to trust Him more and pray more and depend upon Him more, and I develop more empathy and sympathy for people, and I actually get more concerned about people now having had some sorrows of my own than I used to be. Can anybody testify to that? Well, everything I just named to you is something you ought to be thankful for. And you can't get that stuff without sorrow. I'm thankful for hard times. I'm thankful for bad times. I used to really be embarrassed thinking about how I was raised. And I guess the thing that bothered me the most is that I was raised in a way that I did not have to be raised. And what I'm saying is the sin in my life, if people would have got saved and done right, that wouldn't have been there. The poverty in my life was caused by alcoholism. Both my parents had a job enough that we might not have been rich, but we didn't have to live like we did. And so that used to really bother me and upset me. It'd be like, you know, if everybody had tried and done the best they could, and then we just come up short, that's fine. But this, I went through all this embarrassment and shame needlessly. But then I looked at Romans 8:28. And I have come to realize that who I am today and the effectiveness that I have today and the relatability that I have today comes from those formative years as a little child being afraid and helpless and ashamed. And so now, when it put to you, if you could go back and change that, would you? I don't think I would, because I don't think I'd be the man that I am today if I wasn't raised like that. You see, I can go in any house around here. I don't care what kind of dump it is, what neighborhood it is. And some of you, you'd feel a little, I don't know. I don't know about these people. I don't want to sit down. And that's all right. Some of you were raised in a way where that wouldn't bother me a bit. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I could sit down amongst all that stuff and talk with them, have a much better time than I could with a country club crowd. Much better. You know what God did? He set me up. He set me up to minister to people. Now, how can I be upset about that? Regardless of what emotional bondage I carry, and I do, I carry it, and I know it's never all going to go away. I know that. You can't go through what I went through as a child and it all go away. But I thank God for it, because it's allowed me to be the minister I am. It's allowed me to be the preacher I am. I wouldn't have been it without it. I thank God for the sorrows. I thank God for the saints. I am so, listen, I know everybody's just, well, you know, churches, they got these people that are doing this and saying that and complaining about this and complaining about that. Let me tell you something, folks. I take God's people over any people any day of the week. Whatever our problems are, and we got a bunch of them, ain't we? We got a bunch of them, but I'd take saved people, I'd take the saints, I'd take fellowshipping with people in this church any day over that worldly crowd, any day. I thank God so much that I've got some good Christian friends. Good Christian friends. And preacher friends. I thank God for the sanctuary. What do you mean? God's given us a beautiful place here. He's given us a place. I know the church ain't the facilities. I know that, but thank God we got good facilities for the church to meet in. God's blessed us. God has blessed us with not very nice facilities. And it's very comfortable in here. And I'm very thankful that God has given me a local church to preach at and given me people to preach to like you. And let me tell you something. I am very thankful today, as I look back from my first Sunday in here, and now it would be almost now, one more month, I guess, will be 4.5 years that I've been your pastor. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for two things. I'm thankful for, number one, the transformation I have seen in those 4.5 years, Brother Sonny, in this local assembly. And I'm thankful for the transformation I've seen in those last 4.5 years in me. Do you know what God sent me here to do? You thought, well, when we can just get a pastor, and we had a shaky time here, but we're just waiting. Everybody, just calm down. Let's just keep the fires down. We can just get a pastor, and then we've got to fix it. No, after you got me, it got worse. There was still a lot to be fixed. But you know what God sent me here to do? He said, I'm going to send you there with those people, and all of you are going to grow together. I'm not going to kick a pumpkin. And I'm scared to kick this speaker. But brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it wonderful that we all are growing together? And I'm excited about what God's doing in this church. If I don't mess it up and you don't mess it up and we keep our spirits submitted and humble to God, there's no telling what Christ is going to do here. I know it's the last days. I know it's the end time. I don't expect some kind of big booming thing. But I tell you right now, God's going to reward faithfulness. He's going to reward doing it right. And I believe that he is. I thank God for something to do. I thank God he'd called me to preach. And listen, he's called you to do something. There's everybody in here has been given at least one spiritual gift, and you ought to thank God that he gave it to you, and you ought to thank God that you have something to do. And if you don't know what it is God wants you to do, just keep coming, stay in that book, stay on your knees in prayer, keep coming to church, be faithful, and he'll show you what he wants you to do. But he's given everybody something to do, and I thank God for that. Just a few more. I thank God for strength. You know, there's been times when I thought I couldn't go on. There's been times when I thought amidst the struggle I'd crumble. Any of you ever been there? Maybe I'm preaching to someone here today, and you thought, man, it just took everything I could to get myself together to be here. And maybe I'm talking to someone here this morning in pretty rough shape. And I'm here to tell you that Christ is faithful to give strength when we're weak. When I'm weak, he is strong. And son, he told you today he lives in you. You're in him and he's in me. And I'm seated up there together with him. So if he's in me and he's strong, that Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he's within the world. You say, what does that mean? Well, it really don't mean nothing if you don't apply it. But it's telling you that there's someone lives within you that's stronger than anything you'll face in this world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the reason I'm strong and the reason I'm able to go ain't because I'm so disciplined and I'm just so mentally and tough and I should have been a Navy SEAL and I'm just, you know, all that. You know, I can handle it all and I can handle it. No, sir. No, sir. Not me. Not me. I'm probably looking at some people that are real determined and real disciplined and real strong, and you naturally, mentally, and emotionally can handle a lot and physically can handle a lot. I'm probably looking at some folks. Don't chalk me up with you. That's not me. You know why I'm bold when I am bold and courageous when I am courageous and fearless when I am fearless and steadfast when I am steadfast? It's one thing. I know where the power source is coming in me. It ain't me. It ain't me. I promise you it ain't me. But there's something within me, brother, that's got me plugged into something. It's a socket that's not of this world, brother. There's some kind of supernatural thing coming. And, brother, it's empowering me. There's times I'm preaching and I can feel it all over me. I'm not trying to get cuckoo and charismatic, but it's on me. It's on me. You say, what is that? That's the Holy Ghost. And it's all right for us Baptists to say Holy Ghost. Amen. We can say Holy Ghost. Don't let the stupid charismatic steal that term. It's the Holy Ghost. Not Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. And I got a good dose of them. And that's why there's anything to me at all. And I'll say this one more thing. I want to say that I thank God for not just the Savior, salvation, scriptures, my spouse, my son, my surplus, my sorrows, the saints, the sanctuary, something to do, strength. But I want to end this by saying I thank God for serenity. You know, there's a peace of God and a peace with God. And you get a peace that you get through salvation. But you can be saved and not have peace in your heart here today. But let me tell you something. The old heavy bishop has got both of them this morning. I've got peace with God and I've got the peace of God. And I didn't get it by being spiritual. He gave it to me. There was a time a few years ago in this church I didn't think I'd ever have peace again. And not only did he return that peace, he gave me greater peace and he gave me greater mental help than I've ever had. And he don't love me no more than he loves you. What he'll do for me, he'll do for you. Are you thankful for what he's done for you? If you don't have peace today, he wants you to have it. If you don't have him today, he wants you to have it. If you don't understand you have the scriptures, he wants you to know that. But I want you to do this as we get ready to close this morning. I want you to just think about those few things I mentioned and just be thankful. And Paul told you, listen, Paul told you, I read it to you. Paul told you that part of your responsibility as a Christian, if you're going to walk after Christ and walk in the ways of Christ, he said, you're going to be rooted up, established in the faith. He told you one of the things that you do is you are to live a life of thanksgiving. And if you're not a thankful person, you ought to pray about that this morning. All right, every head bow and eye closed.